Good afternoon. I'm calling this meeting of the Tax Committee to order for April 4th, 2024. First item on our agenda is approval of the minutes for March 26, 2024. Vice Chair Norris, do I have a motion?
Chair Gomez, I move adoption of the March 26 meeting minutes.
Vice Chair Norris has moved adoption of the March 26 meeting minutes. Is there any discussion on the motion? Not seeing any. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Motion carries. The minutes for March 26, 2024 are adopted. So I hope everybody had a good break. As promised, we have a couple of bills up today. First is House File 4934. Vice Chair Norris moves that House File 4934 be laid over for possible inclusion in the 2024 tax bill. And Representative Norris does have an author's amendment coded DE2 that should be in everybody's packets. Welcome back, Vice Chair Norris. Do you want to move your DE?
Yes, Chair Gomez. I move the DE2 amendment.
All right. Vice Chair Norris has moved the DE2 amendment. Is there any discussion on the motion? Not seeing any. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The amendment's adopted. The bill is in the form the author would like. Representative Norris, to your bill.
Thank you, Chair Gomez and members. This bill is designed to make clear that judgments of the tax court here in Minnesota have precedent when it applies to all parties in any litigation before the tax court, including the Department of Revenue. And as a lawyer myself, I feel like this is a really important provision because as practitioners, whether you're a lawyer, whether you're an accountant, it's important to make sure that all parties have a clear understanding of what the law is and how it applies to your clients. If it's uncertain what the law is that the department or any of the other parties to any litigation are operating under or consider to be the current law or precedent, it makes it hard for you as an attorney or as an accountant to advise your client appropriately. And so I believe that this bill will bring needed clarity to cases that come before the tax court. And I've got a number of testifiers who will be able to speak more specifically about how this bill will help to improve their ability to practice as lawyers or accountants and advise their clients when they are dealing with tax disputes before the Minnesota Tax Court.
Thank you very much, Vice Chair Norris. So we will turn now to testimony. First up, Gino Fragnito, and Ben Wagner is on deck. Welcome to the committee. Please just state your name as you get started with your testimony, Mr. Fragnito.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I'm Gino Fragnito, and I am here today representing the Minnesota CPA Society, and thank Representative Norris and Representative Davids for bringing this bill forward. House File 4934, as amended, brings some further clarity to the statutes about when the tax court rulings apply and who they apply to, as Representative Norris did say. CPAs and businesses often rely on tax court rulings when deciding what positions to take on future tax questions. Consistent application of the law and guidance from tax administrators is required so taxpayers can properly comply with the laws. When CPAs are advising their clients, they prefer to know the answer to tax questions before filing a return rather than litigate it and issue after the fact. This is much more efficient in terms of the use of resources for everybody, the taxpayer, the CPA, the Department of Revenue, the court, everybody involved. Taxpayers want to do the right thing up front, but can't do so if they're not sure of the rules of the game. All we're asking for in House File 4934 is transparency and certainty and to know the answer. We may not agree with the answer, but knowing the answer provides that clarity and certainty, some certainty as taxpayers move forward with making decisions. The legislation addresses concerns that were raised by the Supreme Court in the city's management case versus the Department of Revenue. And in this decision, both the majority and the dissenting opinions were troubled by the department's actions, making decisions without providing notice to the public and lack of transparency. And I'll just note that the majority stated that they were troubled by the commissioner's conduct, and the dissent actually said that the actions were outrageous. So troubled and outrageous, you pick your descriptor, but there was some concern in terms of how it was applied and how the information was relayed to the public. So, members of the committee, House File 4934 is necessary to help rebuild that trust and confidence that Minnesota's tax system is fairly and equitably applied to all. The issue dates back to about 2006 and has been ongoing since, and although we're not aware of any cases pending, we don't know for sure, so it's time to provide that certainty to taxpayers. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Fragnito. Next up is Ben Wagner. Welcome to the committee. Please just state your name as you get started with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Ben Wagner. I am a tax controversy attorney at Wagner Tax Law, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to discuss the merits of House File 4934. All tax systems are complex. There's no doubt about that. I'm probably preaching to the choir here as to how hard taxes can be. All tax systems are infallible as well. We just cannot anticipate all the little sort of idiosyncrasies and different scenarios that might sort of go before the Department of Revenue. And we know the Department of Revenue works hard to sort of work with taxpayers and tax professionals to try to come to some sort of resolution or reconciliation on all those different problems. But in light of those realities, we should not allow the Department of Revenue to sort of unilaterally ignore or worse, attempt to just create sort of laws that they feel like should apply. As Justice Hudson noted in the city's management oral argument, this is the government. We should do better. As Mr. Fragnito noted, you know, conduct where the Department of Revenue was either outrageous or troublesome, that's not what we want from our department. And we want to work with them to make sure that the tax court decisions are you know, clear and concise, and that the taxpaying public is able to sort of understand how best to navigate what is a very sort of complex and difficult set of laws. If the Department of Revenue can choose to ignore those tax court decisions, all that does is create confusion. That confusion is nonpartisan. It impacts both Republicans and Democrats alike. It'll impact Main Street businesses and Wall Street businesses. That is why we need to make these changes in House File 4934. Implementing those changes will help ensure that we get back to restoring the trust and confidence that we need to present a more level playing field for all Minnesota taxpayers. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wagner. Next up is Masha Yevzelman. Welcome to the committee. Please just identify yourself as you get started with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Masha Yevzelman. I am a tax controversy attorney at Frederickson and Byron in Minneapolis. My testimony reflects my personal views and not the views of Frederickson. In full disclosure, I was also one of the attorneys who litigated the city's management case before the Minnesota Department of Revenue, the Minnesota Tax Court, and the Minnesota Supreme Court. I want to talk a little bit about that case and how we got here. The city's management case presents the most recent public example of why this bill is necessary. It involved the sale of a small business by an individual. And in deciding how to sell the business, she did everything right. She contacted a CPA, the CPA did research, and the CPA found a Minnesota tax court opinion that was directly on point to this transaction. And so the CPA told her what the tax liabilities would be, and she structured her sale in that specific way and paid the tax that the CPA told her to pay. But what they didn't know was that the Department of Revenue had decided, without telling anybody, that it wasn't bound by the tax court's interpretation of the law and that it wasn't following that opinion that they had been relying on. During litigation, it became clear that over the course of a decade, the department circulated countless internal memos and training materials telling auditors not to follow this tax court opinion. And all of this while they knew that the taxpayers were structuring the most important transactions of their lives, the sales of their businesses. By the time the department decided to make its position public, 11 years later, it was too late for city's management. The department had assessed over $500,000 in tax, penalties, and interest. I appreciate the current commissioner's intent and commitment to not have the same behavior continue in the future. But it was under this administration that city's management had to litigate this case up to the Supreme Court. And it was before the Supreme Court that this commissioner's administration argued that it was not bound by the tax court's interpretation of the law. And before the tax court, the previous commissioner's administration argued that instead of relying on tax court's opinions, taxpayers and CPAs should just call the department and ask whether the department was following that opinion. Imagine the volume of calls, not even to mention that taxpayers can't rely on anything the department says verbally or in writing under the law. The Minnesota Supreme Court recognized that the commissioner's actions were problematic, and you heard a little bit about that from Mr. Wagner and Mr. Fragnito. The dissent specifically asked, how are we to expect taxpayers to have confidence in a system in which the commissioner ignores the tax court's interpretations of tax statutes and unilaterally adopts the commissioner's preferred interpretation of the law? The dissent continued, simply put, taxpayers deserve some assurance that if they prepare their tax returns in reliance on the tax court's interpretation of the law, the commissioner can't subsequently change the rules. In the aftermath of the city's management decision, action is needed to restore trust in our tax system and assure taxpayers that they should be able to prepare returns consistently with the tax court's interpretation of the law. House File 4934, as amended, is on the right track, but in order for it to have any teeth, it must also be made clear that the commissioner cannot issue assessments that are contrary to the tax court's interpretation of the law unless that decision is overturned by the Minnesota Supreme Court. If that's not made clear, then different taxpayers will be subject to different sets of laws. Taxpayers who have the means and sophistication to litigate a case to the tax court will get the tax court's interpretation of the law. But taxpayers who don't have those means or the sophistication, they'll be functioning under the commissioner's interpretation of the law and would be subject to the whims of whatever commissioner is in the office. To make our tax system more equitable, transparent, and trustworthy, a bill binding the commissioner to follow tax court opinions is necessary. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Yevselman. Finally, Commissioner Marquardt. Welcome back to the committee, Commissioner.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, members. I'm Paul Marquardt, the Commissioner of Revenue, and thank you so much for allowing me to testify on House File 4934 as amended. And usually I'm not before this committee unless I'm presenting the governor's budget or presenting a governor's position. Neither one applies here. And Representative Davids, the Department of Revenue has no position on this bill. But the reason I'm here, as you heard from earlier testifiers, is this is a huge issue that Representative Norris brings forward and that the Supreme Court of Minnesota brought forward. And that is paramount to a good and effective tax code, and that is transparency to the taxpayer, accountability, clarity, openness to the taxpayer, because that all impacts the trust and confidence that a taxpayer has in the tax code. And so while I have concerns with the bill overall, I strongly support the intent. And anytime the Minnesota Supreme Court in the same sentence puts the words outrageous and commissioner in the same sentence, you take note. And when I read the City Management Inc. case, I was very disappointed. And even though the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the Department of Revenue on the assessment, they were, as you heard, very critical of the process, and duly so. And so I just kind of want to cover where we're at. And I think you kind of know what happened in this case. But in 2006, there was a case before the tax court called the Nadler case. And the tax court ruled against the Department of Revenue. But the Department of Revenue said internally, we're not going to acquiesce to that ruling, and never publicized until 10, 11 years later that, in fact, they were disagreeing. And so taxpayers, based on information and guidance that they got from their tax preparers, figuring that the Nadler case was kind of what was being ruled on and so forth and being carried out, made some decisions that later on then came back and they had to pay extra money. So that no way, shape, or form is what happened there, not notifying the public for 11 years that they were not either appealing the decision or they're not going to abide by the decision goes against the standards and values that we're subscribing to here at the Department of Revenue. And, you know, we have a voluntary tax compliance system, and it relies on, you know, people having transparent or having the department being transparent and make sure we're very clear with things, because that impacts the trust and confidence that people have in this tax system. And I always talk to folks at the Department of Revenue and say that, you know, we're really a window into democracy. So when anyone interacts with the Department of Revenue or with any state agency for that matter, their impact and their influence, good or bad, can impact their confidence and trust in democracy. And we take that very seriously at the Department of Revenue. So what's occurred since November of 2023 when the city's management case came out? Number one, I asked staff to see, are there any other Nadlers out there, so to speak, that, you know, there's been a pretty clear-cut case and that we're not following. So we're certainly checking and nothing's come forward on that. We just lost a case about 6 weeks ago, and we are not going to appeal it, and I've asked staff to send out guidance that we're going to be following this new ruling. In the last 3 years, we have lost 14 cases. The Department of Revenue has lost 14 cases before the tax court. That's about 12% of all cases. Most cases are either settled or dismissed. But of those 14 that we have lost, we've appealed three of them to the Minnesota Supreme Court, and the other 11, we are following that decision. So, again, I'm not going to get into the bill, really, because, like I said, I agree with the intent. I think the bill might be too broad and may have some unintended consequences. But the bottom line is, I hear what this bill is saying. It is what we subscribe to at the Department of Revenue every single day, where it's transparency to the taxpayer, clarity to the taxpayer, accountability and openness to the taxpayer, because we know that trust and faith that they have in a tax system that's voluntary compliance is crucial to an effective tax code. So, Representative Norris, again, I totally support the intent, and I would be certainly willing to work with you as you move the bill forward if that's something you would like. So thank you, members, and thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner Marquardt. That's the end of the folks who signed up. Is there anybody else present who wishes to testify on this bill? Not seeing any, we will move to member discussion. Representative Davids.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for hearing the Davids-Norris bill. Very fine piece of legislation. In total support, Norris Davids, okay. And I want to be clear to this body that this is not on Commissioner Marquardt.
Thank you.
Commissioner Marquardt is in a situation where he gets to clean up the mess from previous situations. I have worked on this issue for a very, very long time and have not been able to get across the finish line on this because I've just been, if you will, dumbfounded that the tax court rules and the department doesn't follow the rules. Some they do, some they don't. Well, thank you to the testifiers for your comments. I think you're right on, and I hope this is the year to get it done. Madam Chair, I'd like to see actually this put on the consent calendar, because if you think about it for just a second, what are we doing here? The tax court rules, and the department can say, yes, we want to do this, or no, we don't. What's that all about? How about a little rule of law here? And like I said, I worked on this in the past, and I've always said it's going to come back and get us. Well, it kind of came back and got Commissioner Marquardt here, and I just want to repeat that this is not on him. I'm so thankful he's there to help us clean this up. So I love coming to committee because I learn something almost every committee meeting. I didn't know there was such a thing as a tax controversy attorney, and today I met two of them. That's pretty awesome, I think. So let's support the bill, members. Let's get this through. You talk about common sense. I mean, okay, the department has to follow what the court has ruled. Earth-shattering. I understand. And when the CPAs get up there and testify, I was just thinking, I wouldn't say it out loud, but have you ever met a dumb CPA? I haven't. These people are smart. They know what they're doing. They're going by the rules. And when the rules change, it's not right for their profession either. I think this bill cleans a lot of things up, and I hope everyone can support it.
Thank you, Representative Davids. We'll go to Pinto. I too had never heard of a tax controversy attorney, so I Googled it over here and I was like, oh, it's rich people with very complex returns. So I was sure that you yourself had found occasion to interact with the tax controversy attorney or two.
Well,
Representative Davids.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And of course, there's just nothing controversial about me at all.
Representative Pinto.
Madam Chair, I have not taken advantage of a tax controversy attorney myself, I will say. And I don't know if anybody can answer this, but I'm wondering whether there's anything parallel in other states. I know each state's structure would be different, and so in our state we have this tax court, which is sort of this hybrid executive judicial. I don't know if that's even comparable in other states, but what the situation may be. I don't know if there's any insight our staff could provide now or at a later time.
It sounds like maybe we'll need to, unless somebody at the department knows anything about it, maybe we'll have to follow up on that one, Representative Pinto, if that's okay. All right, great, thank you. Is there anybody else, any further discussion on this bill? All right, not seeing any. Vice Chair Norris, any final remarks?
Thank you, Chair Gomez, and I appreciate Commissioner Markhor's graciousness and willing to work on this. I think, as we've heard from today's testimony, I think there is an issue here that we need to explore and try to address, and so I look forward to working with him and the other stakeholders to try to find a solution that will give Minnesota's taxpayers, as well as the practitioners who work with them, whether they be lawyers or accountants, the certainty that they need in order to comply with Minnesota's tax law as they try to do that in their daily lives and as they go about their business.
Great. Thank you so much. With that, Vice Chair Norris will renew his motion that House File 4934, as amended, be laid over for possible inclusion in the 2024 tax bill, and it is laid over. All right. Next up on the agenda, we have House File 4826 from Representative Robbins, and Representative Robbins is going to move that House File 4826 be laid over for possible inclusion in the 2024 tax bill. Representative Robbins, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This is a very simple bill that would allow senior citizens to get an advance credit on their property tax refund. So how it would work is they would get 50% of the credit they would normally receive in August, and it would be applied towards their May property tax payment, reducing that liability by the amount of 50% of the credit they get in August. Then come August, they would get the rest of the 50% of the credit that they normally would get the whole thing of in August, and that would be available to them to then make their October payment. And this bill is just an idea I had last fall in particular. Usually it happens every year, but this last fall it happened a lot, where I heard from so many senior homeowners in my district whose homes are totally paid off, they want to stay in their homes, and they struggle with cash flow. And I wondered what to do, didn't really have any good ideas, and then when we made the advanced credit payment for the child credit, I thought, why couldn't we do that for seniors? So thankfully, Mr. Williams and Jared worked with me on that, and we came up with this idea. It's revenue neutral, so I'm hoping we can get support for everyone. It just would make the cash flow situation for seniors who want to stay in their homes more possible for them to afford.
Wonderful. Thank you, Representative Robbins. Oh, we have an author's amendment. I'm sorry. Well, that's great. You just explained the bill, and now we're going to amend the bill. Would you like to move the A1? Representative Robbins is going to move the A1 amendment. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No. The amendment is adopted. The bill is in the shape the author would like. Is there anybody who wishes to testify on this bill? I'm not seeing any. Moving to member discussion. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If you wait long enough, a member will pop up. Representative Robbins, you said it was revenue neutral, but could you speak a little bit about the general fund costs and why they go up in the tails?
Yes. It doesn't take effect. Oh, Madam Chair, sorry. It doesn't take effect until the 2025 tax year, and the cost is for administrative cost at the department for managing it with responding to questions, and you know they show 1.09 FTE, so it's so the fiscal note, if you'll see the revenue note is neutral, and then the fiscal note is what shows the cost. So.
Sure. Great. Thank you. Chair Olson?
Thank you, Representative Robbins. And I just wanted to point that out. It may be revenue neutral, but it does have a general fund cost that shows in the 24-25 biennium and also then an increase in the 26-27 biennium.
Thank you for that. Is there any further discussion on the bill? All right, not seeing any. Representative Robbins, any final comments?
Thank you, members. I know this is just a small idea and it helps a limited population, but I have spoken to the department, and even though they can't technically support the bill, they think it's a good idea and they wouldn't oppose it. And I think it's a small way we can help with cash flow for our senior citizens. So I hope you'll consider including it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So with that, Representative Robbins is going to renew her motion that House File 4826, as amended, be laid over for possible inclusion in the 2024 tax bill, and the bill is laid over. Thank you very much. Now that Representative Kosnick has joined us, it's about time for us to adjourn. So we'll be back on Thursday. We have a few more bills on the committee or on the agenda, but we'll see you then. And with that, we are adjourned.